This is Cliff Evans. I'll be talking with Al Lopez going in five. Al Lopez, when you recently traded Louis Aparicio, Al Smith, when you released Turk Lound, it revealed the startling fact that of the 1959 Chicago White Sox team which won the pennant, that only four players are still with you. That's Nellie Fox and Jim Landis, Sherm Lawler, and Sammy Esposito. Now, why this tremendous turnover?
Cliff, if you notice, ball clubs, as a rule, they change. You'd be surprised how quickly they change. And if you recall, in 59 we won the pennant, and we didn't have what we call a power team. We won it mostly on speed and defense. And in 50 and 60, we decided that we were going to try to go out and acquire some fellows that could maybe slug the ball. We went out and acquired fellows like Severs, Minoso, and let me see who else, Freeze, to see if we could get some home runs and maybe win the pennant a couple of two or three more years in a row. And it didn't pan out that way. We gave up some young players. So after that change, and we finished third that year, and the following year we finished, I think, fourth, we decided to go right back and see if we could put some youth into the ball club and get back into contention. And that's exactly what we've done in the last three or four years.
Well, I'd like to ask you about a few fellows on the roster, if you'd be good enough to evaluate them for us. Deacon Jones.
Well, Deacon is a boy that that has come in the last year or two, has come real fast. He's become a real fine hitter. We brought him up last fall, and you could see that the boy can compete with big league pitching. He is now, I think, feels at home at first base. As you know, he was an infielder, a third baseman, second baseman, and hurt his arm, and they just didn't have any position for him because he can't throw that good. I think he can throw good enough to be a first baseman, but he was used mostly a utility and also pinch hitting, and I think in the last year or two he's been playing regularly and he's become a real fine hitter. He's a first baseman, pinch hitter, and might end up being playing regular for us if he can really swing the bat, because he had a great winter in Venezuela.
Oh, good. Now, how about Floyd Robinson?
Well, Floyd is a boy that can play right field and left field. He's played both for us and done a good job and had a terrific year at the bat last year. Offensively, he was our big guy. He drove in over 100 runs and had a terrific year.
Don Buford, the rookie third baseman.
Well, this boy I haven't seen too much. He's a switch hitter, and he's another boy that's been shifted around from the outfield to second base to third base, and I think now he's just feeling at home. They're leaving him alone at third base, and he's turned out to be a fine hitter and had his best year last year at Savannah. Had a great year and has done real well for Les Moss in Venezuela. Also did real good, and I can't tell you too much of the boy. I've never seen him that much.
Well, just the reports are so very high on him. Al Lopez, evaluate one other fellow for me on your roster, Herb Score.
Herb, last year didn't do as well as we thought he should have done at Indianapolis. In fact, he was disappointing. And we called him back in the fall and worked with him a little bit again, and we told him that just go on home and forget about everything and just report this spring fresh. And I think that if he can get himself back into the groove, that he'll be, maybe not as good as the old Herb Score, but if he can be three-fourths as good, I still think he can be a winner up here.
Now, Lopez, the other day up in St. Petersburg, there were a few of us sitting around. Casey Stengel was there and others, and talk got around to catchers. And Clyde McCullough, the old catcher who's now doing some coaching for Casey, said that he saw you do the most daring thing that a catcher had ever done. I wonder whether you recall the incident. He said that the pitcher threw the ball, and instead of you as catcher waiting for the batter to swing at the ball, but before the batter took his cut, you're laughing. Do you recall that?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was happening in Cincinnati, and the hitter was Chick Haefe, who was a fine ball player, a great hitter. And we figured he was the, I think we were one run to the good at the time in the ninth inning. And I told Joe Stripp to play back and that I would take charge of the bunt. And he says, okay. I said, I hope he bunts.
This is Joe Stripp. He was a third baseman,
Third baseman. Yeah. I told him to play way back, and if Chick would want a bunt, to go ahead and let him bunt, that I'd take care of the bunt. So I called for a changeup from the pitcher. And just as he's delivering the ball, and when he released the ball, what I did was go between him and the umpire and charged out there to feel the bunt. And sure enough, Chick bunted and I threw him out. And I'm glad that he bunted, Cliff, and also that he bunted the ball, because when I came back, Charlie Moran was the umpire, and he jumped all over me. He says, "Don't you ever do that again and leave me exposed out here for that ball to hit me like that." And I said, "Charlie, that's the reason I called for a change of pace. I didn't want you to get hurt."
Is it true Casey Stengel traded you twice?
Yes, Cliff. He traded me the first time from Brooklyn to Boston with Tony Cuccinello, my present-day coach and my roommate at the time. And then then Casey came over there. Bill McKechnie was there at the time. And then when Casey was left Brooklyn, he came over to Boston, and he became our boss. And I think after he was there 2 years, he traded me to Pittsburgh. And both times, it was a matter of circumstances. And the first time, he was trying to, I think he had Babe Phelps, and he figured Babe Phelps could handle a job. He was a fine hitter, and he was trying to get some help in the pitching and the outfield for the Brooklyn club.
But there's a little more, Al. Didn't Casey, as I hear the story, and you would know better, didn't Casey say to you before he traded you from Brooklyn that he had to trade you,
yes,
and he would try to trade you to a first-class ball club, and you wound up where?
At Boston.
In Boston.
They set the record for losing games the year before, and I told him that it's a good thing that you were going to trade me to a good ball club, otherwise I might have been in the Association International League. I was kidding about that. And the next time he traded me to Pittsburgh, which turned out to be a real good deal for me because I enjoyed playing at Pittsburgh, and we had some real good ball clubs over there.
Al, you once said, "How can you have fun managing?" You still feel that way?
Yes, Cliff, although I want to verify that a little bit. I think the fun that a manager has actually is when you win games, when you can improve a youngster that you can see coming up, like we have quite a few of them this spring here in this camp. And you can work with these fellas, and they finally make the grade for you. It's kind of a satisfaction that it gives you that at least you work with and put some effort into some of these kids, and you had the confidence in them, and they come through for you. And I think that's really the fun.
Al, the usual question, how far do you think the White Sox can go this year?
Well, Cliff, again, we're going to have to challenge the Yankees. There's no question about it. It seems like every year we do. We were fortunate enough and beat them, in 59 and also in 54 when I was at Cleveland. But you have to have a good year to beat them, and the way to do it is by playing good ball and not just wishing that you could just beat the Yankees. You have to play good ball to beat them. They're a fine ball club. We think that we're going to be better than we were last year. I think we've got better balance this year on the playing club and also on the bench. And it depends on maybe on a couple of youngsters. We got a kid by the name of Ward at third base that we acquired on this deal. A fine-looking youngster. I'm anxious to start playing some ball games because I think he'll do well for us. In left field, we have good at outfield. But if this boy Nicholson that we acquired from Baltimore can also come through, just hit the ball. That's all he has to do. He's so powerful.
Yeah.
Runs real good. Good defense.
Maybe he's been overcoached or something.
Well, that I don't
know.
Yeah. Cliff, I'm just going to let the boy alone and just let him swing the bat. And if he can just hit the ball, he'll be terrific for us or for anybody because he could be one of the outstanding players in the American League if he just learned how to hit the ball more often. But we can be real good, I think. I think we'll be better than we were last year. And as bad as we were last year, fellows like Landis having a poor year, Aparicio having an off year, he did have an off year, and Pizarro, the fellow that I think we talked to you last year about winning 18 or 20 ball games, ended up winning 12. If these fellows can buck up and come through again, Landis and Pizarro, with the acquisition of Wilhelm, who I think is one of the finest relief pitchers, I think we should do a lot better than last year.
Well, those are the views of one of baseball's superior managers, one of baseball's finer personalities. A name, Al Lopez. Occupation, manager, team, Chicago White Sox. This is Cliff Evans reporting from Sarasota, Florida, the spring training camp of the Chicago White Sox.